Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, a fascinating show with Jeremy Aguero, principal analyst with Applied Analysis, is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Jeremy Aguero. He's the principal analyst with Applied Analysis. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
No, thanks for having me.
So, you are the advisor to just about everybody in government in the state of Nevada. You've been a leading expert for more years than I care to remember, because otherwise it'll date both you and I, and we started out when we were very young. But let's get to a lot of serious issues. So let's start out with where we are right now in the Silver State as we look at, you know, the devastation that's being impacted on us by the lockdown. What are your biggest concerns as you speak this morning?
Well, look, I mean, when we think about COVID-19 and the crisis that the state of Nevada are dealing with, we sort of put it into four sort of distinct buckets, if you will, Sam. The first is the public health crisis that we're dealing with. Obviously, that's been at the forefront of the conversation. A lot of policymakers have been spending a great deal of time trying to make sure that everyone remains safe. The second is an economic crisis. The third is a fiscal crisis. And then the one that fewer people are talking about is really a legal crisis on the back end of that. From a public health perspective, I think you have to be fairly impressed with where Nevada currently stands. I mean, obviously, the rate of infection has dropped. The social distancing has been what appears to be very effective. And while, you know, more people seem to be venturing out as we enter phase one, you know, overall, the concerns that were out there relative to hospitals being overwhelmed has not materialized. And that's likely the result of the measures that were taken by governments, businesses, and individuals. From an economic perspective, as you mentioned, the situation is very disconcerting at the moment. You know, with in excess of 440,000 people having actively filed for unemployment throughout the state of Nevada, that's beyond anything that we have in measure. I mean, you and I talked during the Great Recession and before about some of the economic downturns that we've dealt with. This is orders of magnitude larger. During the worst 8-week period of the Great Recession, we saw the unemployment rate get to about 14%. We saw about 67,000 people during an 8-week period file for initial unemployment insurance claims. Those numbers are in excess of 400,000 today. The unemployment rate, based on the current calculations that we're doing, respecting the fact that unemployment is calculated many different ways, is approaching 30%, roughly two times what we saw previously. So from an economic standpoint, it's very concerning overall. And certainly while we hope that people are going to come, the jobs are going to come back as the economy starts to open up, I don't think we can turn a blind eye to the fact that that's going to take some time to happen. And it's largely going to be a function of science as opposed to a function of time, which isn't going to be easy. And our state's economy is disproportionately dependent on people getting in a plane or getting in a car and going on vacation. And we think that's going to take some time to recover. From a fiscal standpoint, obviously, the state and local governments are suffering unprecedented deficits, are staring and are taking measures to try to address them. But that, too, is going to be a function not only of the public health crisis, but also the economic crisis. And then really at the back end, you and I could talk a long time about the legal ramifications of COVID-19 and everything that we're dealing with today.
All right. So let's go backwards into these as you dealt with them. The legal crisis, do you not expect that to be solved by the Congress, that they are going to have to indemnify businesses from being sued if somebody catches COVID-19 in their business?
Yeah, look, I think that's one piece of it. I mean, whether the federal government takes up that measure or whether they don't, I think that businesses are going to have a great deal of concern about opening their doors, not only for their customers, but certainly for their employees as well. What liability follows? Sam, I think you also have concerns about force majeure that's going on out there. There's been a lot of contracts that have not been completed as a result of an act of God. And certainly, how do those sort of play out? You've got evictions that have been stayed and what sort of happens as those sort of flow downward. And then I think you've got a lot of legislation that people are talking about. I mean, places like California are making COVID-19 a presumptive employees, a workman's comp claim. And then you've got folks that are even talking about automatic reductions in rent in order to help people that have been affected. There's no doubt that these ramifications are important and they need to be, we need to see how they're played out. But the end result of some of those legal actions, I think, could have ripple effects long before COVID-19 is in the rearview mirror.
Wow. I mean, you just opened up a huge Pandora's box.
Look, I think that's what it is, Sam. I mean, you have people talking about the powers of the executive branch and the powers of the legislative branch and who can do what and for how long. We're going to have to get that figured out. And Sam, I don't think we can, I don't think the legislature, I don't think policymakers or anybody can ignore the fact that we in this state alone have over 400,000 people that are out of work. I mean, the economic implications of that are phenomenal. But at the same time, we also need to make sure that they have a business to come back to, right? And when we think about essential services and those type of things, legislators trying to keep open schools and make sure that police and fire protection remain strong and frankly, make sure that health and human services are unaffected as a part of this, right? I mean, you and I've been through this before. I mean, everyone wants to talk about, preserving these essential services that we have. But when we talk about the state having a budget deficit of somewhere between $700 and $900 million, right? And when we talk about the fact that about a third of the state's budget is K-12 education, another 15 to 17%, depending on how you look at it, is higher education, and a little over a third is health and human services, that adds up to almost 100% of the state's budget, with very little to be open for cut that we maybe wouldn't consider essential services. And I didn't even have on my list things like public safety, the jails, which aren't exactly discretion.
All right. So, I mean, when you look at the federal government, even though there's an impasse right now between the bill that the House just passed over the weekend and the Senate's position, which is that they want to take a wait and see approach, do you not feel that the federal government, backed by the Fed, is going to have to intervene here and make the states, if not whole, at least on the way to being whole?
Do I think the federal government is going to have to do that? No, I don't necessarily think the federal government has to do that. I think the implications of them not doing it are going to be very, very difficult for folks to deal with. But, the CARES Act in and of itself, Sam, I think is phenomenal on its face. $2.2 trillion followed up by the Payroll Protection Act expansion that provides a substantial amount of money flowing throughout the United States, including to our own state. We estimate right now about $17.9 billion will flow into the state of Nevada as a result of the CARES Act by itself. That includes $1.25 billion going to state and local governments in the state of Nevada. Now, how those dollars can be spent, I think, is somewhat problematic. But do I believe it is the the sole purview of the federal government to essentially shore up all state and local government programs? No, I don't necessarily feel that's the case.
Well, I would agree with you, not all state and federal programs in the state, but this was not a problem that was caused by the individual states. This was a problem caused by the federal government, instituting this lockdown that then, you know, governors carried out. But at this point, the Fed appears to be willing to continue to print money, to encourage Congress to keep the flow of money going. So if with that knowledge, the federal government does not take the steps necessary to maintain the states, then who is going to get reelected from the federal government in their next election campaign? I mean, you know, we've seen here in the Silver State, all it took was an increase in the pension, which was paltry back in the day, and they reversed themselves and still everybody got thrown out. Politicians believe in self-protection.
Well, Sam, you know, it strikes me that the best economic outcome is likely the worst political outcome in all of this. Look, I think there's about a third of the population that believes that this is somewhere between an overreaction and an exercise in mass hysteria. And as these states open back up, to the extent that there's not a substantial increase in another spike in terms of the exposure to the virus and its expansion, right? I think that more and more people are going to fall into that camp. And you're right. I think that there's a potential reckoning coming. And I'm not here to say that that's right or wrong. I want to believe in the federal government. I certainly do. I want to believe in the medical experts that are out there. I think this is a function of science. I don't think it is a function of time. But the other side of the that you bring up, I think, is very fair, right? I mean, the United States government essentially pumped almost 10%, more than 10%, actually, of United States GDP in the form of stimulus into the economy. That will allow the United States government to essentially take a pause, the United States economy to essentially take a pause for about 60 days. We have to allow that to work overall. And I think that you're absolutely right. The Fed has signaled that they will do whatever it takes to ensure that our economy continues to press forward and that they'll take the steps necessary. I think that should give, frankly, the United States great deal of comfort that we are going to continue to push forward. But if we look at the M2 money supply, and not to get overly complicated, we are absolutely printing money. And I think you and I will agree that it is a lot easier to spend money you don't have than it is to pay back money you don't have. And so finding a balance in all of that is going to be critically important. And I don't want to leave anyone with the impression that I would believe for a moment that the CARES Act wasn't necessary, or that I'm suggesting that more might not also be necessary. But I think finding a balance in terms of how that's going to work is going to be critically important. And there, in my mind, is a pretty bright line between creating a fund to help people that have lost their jobs and paying people not to work. And I think we are getting dangerously close to that other one.
Okay, so I'm going to try to split these up here because we have limited time here, but I want to get to as much as we can. So, one of the things, and obviously you are an expert, I am just somebody who reads newspapers, but, my whole life I have heard about, government debt, and government debt is bad, we need to pay that down. And now everything that I ever knew about economics has been turned on its head, with not only the Fed saying we will do whatever is necessary to pump money into the system, but the fact that the interest rates are almost at zero means that over a 30-year period, the country can actually afford that based on our GDP. Do you agree with that?
Look, do I agree that the country can afford to go through this exercise? I do. Look, and from just a purely economic standpoint, I'll tell you this. This is not the time for the United States to be saving money. This is not the time for the United States to be paying down debt. It's not the time for the United States to be conservative. This is the time for the United States to deploy stimulus to keep the economy going. And that's exactly what it's done. What I'm saying is that there's a balancing act there. And the other side of it, the challenge that we're dealing with, is that we have had the greatest economic expansion in United States history over the past roughly 10 years. And during that time frame, we did not pay down the debt. We did not reduce any of that. As a matter of fact, the debt continued to get larger. Matter of fact, we passed stimulus during a period in which the economy was growing previously. And what I'm saying is that that will not continue to work for us. What it's going to do is ultimately lead to some type of inflation or some type of economic stress, maybe not on you and I, but perhaps on our children and our grandchildren. And I think that that is fiscally irresponsible for us to do. But now's not the time for us to shore that back in, not with, you know, the United States facing unemployment rates that are at least akin to what we saw during the Great Recession. And
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Jeremy Aguero. This is a great show. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jeremy Aguero. He is the principal analyst with Applied Analysis. Jeremy, one of the interesting problems that has popped up here is with the government allowing people to get an extra $600 a week in unemployment, there are a lot of people now that, you know, spring is here, summer is on the way, that are looking to hire people, drivers, people to work in stores, etc. And the people that are unemployed are saying, hey, we'd be making less money coming back to work from you than we're making from the federal government. What's your position on that?
Now, look, I don't know that I necessarily have a position on it, but certainly from an economic standpoint, it's very concerning, right? You know, what we really need to have is for the workforce to get back to work. And we've now created an incentive for them not to do that. Now, the nice part is that that incentive is going to be relatively short-lived. But without a doubt, Sam, you're right. I mean, for a fairly large chunk of folks, they are making more money on receiving unemployment insurance than they would have otherwise. Now, you know, from a business standpoint, we believe that about a third of employees are going to come back online relatively quickly. Another third of employees are going to come online as our economy gets to some kind of new normal. And then about a third are going to deal with a bit of a longer term cycle in terms of when they come back online. But there's no doubt about it. Those employees that are critical to come back, we need to make sure that they don't have a disincentive to do that. It's very expensive to continue to make those unemployment insurance payments. But for right now, I have to tell you, the other side of that is pretty important. Those consumers are able to pay their rent better than we thought they were going to do. They're consuming in terms of, you know, buying essentials and those type of things better than we thought that they would do before the federal stimulus was passed. So that's actually benefiting the state of Nevada that's got among the highest unemployment rates in the United States.
Are you seeing the potential for an industrial revolution coming through in the state of Nevada? Because the technology that we've been looking at coming online within the next 5 to 10 years, robotic bartenders, things like that. Are those going to become reality sooner than later because of the economic condition? And what we've seen in the past, according to my understanding, is that with Industrial Revolution, jobs don't go away. We just create new jobs. Your thoughts?
I don't think there's any doubt to that whatsoever. I think we have clients across the entire state in almost every sector that are absolutely evaluating technological solutions to these challenges. And not just the economic challenges, Sam, although I think you make an excellent point in that once I've laid off or furloughed my entire workforce, the ability to bring them back on is going to be both deliberate and I think very strategic. But beyond that, I think people are evaluating all kinds of technology that can allow, not only from an economic standpoint, but from a public health standpoint, respecting the fact that, you know, this isn't going to go away overnight. And what's particularly critical for our economy is making sure that not only employees, but visitors and other customers feel very comfortable and in some ways confident that they're at a safe place. And technology can help remarkably relative to that.
Were you surprised that the governor extended his order for the casinos to stay shut, potentially through Memorial Day?
I was not. I think it took a remarkable amount of political courage for the governor to close the strip when he did, or close the tourism industry, I should say, when he did. And he said from day one, this is going to be a function of science. It's not going to be a function of time. We are going to be deliberate and thoughtful relative to this, and that the worst case scenario is not waiting a few more weeks to open up. The worst case scenario is opening up too early and the state of Nevada becoming a hotspot for COVID-19. And so, frankly, it didn't surprise me at all.
Do you think that the fact that we are building these massive venues, like the Raiders Stadium, the Las Vegas Sands project, the Dome, and the convention business are all, in a way, in the short term, not the long term, the short term, negatives in terms of us bringing back our industries, as these are the businesses that are going to come back last?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no doubt about it that when we look at anything that requires a mass gathering of people, the expectation is going to be that that's going to lag. Sam, your point is a very fair one. When we look particularly the southern portion of the state, where 20% of the visitors come from international points of origin, that's going to lag. And when we look at conventions, trade shows, meetings, those type of things, which account for another 16% of visitors, there's no doubt that that's going to lag as well. You know, but during the Great Recession, Sam, we expanded McCarran International Airport, T3, the new terminal, was constructed during that period. And I think all kinds of people said, you know what, we shouldn't be building that. It's the wrong time, all those type of things. But what that turned out to be is a $1 billion investment that helped catapult Southern Nevada's economy, in some ways the state of Nevada's economy, forward as we entered recovery from recession. You know, I think that there are a number of people that believe that as our economy comes back online, that whether it's the stadium or the Sphere or the new convention center, that those are going to become, frankly, signals to the United States and to the world that Las Vegas or the state of Nevada is open for business again. Now, I can certainly make an argument that that's wildly optimistic given what the expectation is in the fall. But again, Sam, I think the next 4 to 6 weeks are going to be remarkably instructive in terms of what this virus is and what this virus is not. If the virus takes a very different trajectory, if a vaccine becomes or treatment becomes available sooner rather than later, I think that could change things dramatically. But, you know, we're modeling somewhere between an 18-month and a 36-month recovery cycle. And if it's shorter rather than longer, some of those assets may prove to be very, very important in terms of getting us back up to speed.
All right, let's take one more break and we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another. which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jeremy Arguello. We've got one more question here. You just said 18 to 36 months potential recovery time. 36 months is 3 years. Do you believe we could end up going down a three-year road to recovery?
Yeah, look, I think it's a very high likelihood that could happen. Not that it's absolute, but I think we have to understand it's a function of science, not in time. And once we have to get on top of the virus before we get in front of the economy.
Thank you so much for doing this, Jeremy. It's great to have you back on the program, and I promise I will be calling you soon, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Finish. Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.